Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, students. Welcome to our Thursday evening lesson summary review. Tonight we're going over our continuation of the course Cornerstones of Truth, which is a study of systematic theology or Christian doctrine. We're on session 3 this week, which is dealing with God, His moral characteristics, and works. Now, this session will help students understand that our Creator is a holy God and that He is a loving God. It shows how He can love a sinful person even though He hates that person's sin. It also will emphasize God's creative power and His providential rule over all of His creation. And this session should encourage the students to love God more dearly and to trust Him more fully in their daily experiences. So we're excited to have this opportunity to come and provide this study review for you. For those of you who are already enrolled in the course Cornerstones of Truth, this will help to give you a little more depth of understanding. And as we always do, we're going to pray that God will guide our preparation time so that we will focus on those things that would touch the hearts of each and every one of our students. We also will pray that the Holy Spirit will direct our learning and our study time. And in addition, I want each and every one of you to pray for all of your fellow class members, students that are studying with us around the world. I ask you to pray that God will help them to apply the truth to their lives. And some of you may already know some other students by name. You may have met them through the Facebook page or through our chat line. But if you don't really know any other students who have studied or some of our alumni, I want you to try to learn as much as you can about some of our students and know that it's important that we pray for one another by name and that we pray for the individual needs as we are aware of. For the effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. Again, welcome to our lesson summary review tonight, dealing with God's moral characteristics and His works. Let's get a word of prayer. Father, we thank You. We praise You now. We ascribe worth to You. We thank You for Your majesty, dominion, and power. We thank You that Your word is alive and active, that it divides asunder our soul and spirit. It goes to the intents of our heart. May Your Holy Spirit reveal to us more of Your character today, Lord. Help us to understand more about Your moral characteristics and Your works. Help us to relate to You and understand Your creative power and to embrace Your providential care over our lives. So I thank You now and I praise You for every student and staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary. May Your hand be upon them, their household, and all that pertains to their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, we're going to be going over session 3 tonight from the course Cornerstones of Truth on Thursday. Tonight we go over our bachelor's degree in practical ministry program. We're very excited to have each and every one of you as a student with us here at GBCS. Now, as we think about the introduction for this week's lesson, I'd like to stress that there is a relationship between what we believe and the way we live. Now, with that being said, I want to ask you this question. What warning do we find in James chapter 4, verse 17? Go ahead and make note of that if you're going to take notes with us. James chapter 4, verse 17. And again, we're thinking about what warning do we find written in that portion of Scripture. And if you've already reviewed that section of your text, the answer that you should come to is that we do not do what we know to be sin. That we do not do what we know to be sin. And a key word in that is knowing what is sin. So knowledge always brings the responsibility to act on that knowledge. As God gives us light, we must walk in the light. You see, Paul made reference to this in his letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Now, I also want you to skim the parable of the talents, your lesson guide, your study guide pointed you to this earlier. Go ahead and review the parable of the talents that is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 to 29. And if you can, identify what it suggests about using our knowledge. So if you haven't already done so, go ahead and review and make note of Matthew 25, verses 24 to 29. We're thinking about what this particular portion of Scripture suggests about using our knowledge. And our study guide alluded to the answer that we should come up with. We learn that with greater knowledge comes greater responsibility. Basically paraphrased, to whom much is given, much more is required. However, if we fail to accept our responsibility, we are basically disobeying God at that point. So, students, we thus suffer spiritual decline if we do not check the tendency that it can lead to eternal loss. We must be sure that whenever we gain a higher level of knowledge, that we are able to assume and fulfill a higher level of responsibility and accountability. For God holds us accountable to that which we know to be sin. Now here's another scripture reference we're going to take a look at as we think about the introduction to this lesson. Make note of John chapter 13, verse 17. John 13, 17. This will also speak with us about the reward of knowing the doctrines and acting accordingly. In other words, the scripture will talk to us about living what we know. I'll read it for you here from the King James Version. John chapter 13, verse number 17. It says, "Now that we know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So we see, according to this particular portion of scripture, the blessing comes from doing rather than from just knowing. Jesus also told his disciples, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So to study the Word of God and fail to obey it is to waste one's time and also to disobey God. We can see another example of that in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. So let's keep these things in mind as we prepare to review the session 3 of the course, Cornerstones of Truth, God, His Moral Characteristics, and His Works. Now, our first section of the lesson talked about facts about God. And we have an exercise sheet at this point where we will talk about some of the facts about God. And of course, if you're in the classroom, your instructor will give you a copy of it. If you're studying by distance education, you can request a copy by email. And we're going to go over some of the questions here during this review. Now, what this exercise sheet asks us to do is write a brief answer to each of the following questions. And here's the first question, and we're going to try to go through there about 7 questions here. We're going to try to go through them and answer them for you during this section of our lesson. And again, this is something that you can always take time to go through on your own as you review this message during the archive. So if you have a blank sheet of paper, you may be able to write some of these questions down. The first question we're going to talk about is, what is meant by the statement that God is holy, and how does this affect us? What is meant by the statement that God is holy, and how does this affect us? Well, the answer that your study guide pointed you to, that I want to bring to your remembrance now, is that God has said, "Be holy because I am holy." You'll see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And we'll also see that the writer of Hebrews said, "Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." You will see an example of that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Now, based on those scriptures, we see that since God is holy, which means that He is separated from all that is unclean and evil, if we wish to please Him and have fellowship with Him, we too must separate ourselves from all that is sinful and contrary to His holy purpose. But one of the simple meanings of the word holy is to be set apart, consecrated, dedicated. We know that when Joshua and Israel were preparing to go into the land of Canaan to possess it, God instructed Joshua to tell people, consecrate yourselves or set yourselves apart from anything that is contrary to God's will. Put aside every false thing, every false idea, and commit yourself solely unto God. So that's what we can gain from that statement, that God is holy, and what it means for us. A second question that we ask in this exercise sheet is, how do we think God feels when he sees a person sin? How do you think God feels when he sees a person sin? Well, this is the answer that we're looking for, and the study guide pointed these things out. It pointed out that God hates sin. He cannot tolerate it. You can see an example of that in the Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. Now, at the same time, God loves all people, and he is deeply grieved when he sees us doing wrong or others doing wrong. And the reason is because he knows how sin will affect us, and that ultimately a continuation to sin will destroy us. And this is why God is deeply grieved when he sees us sin. A third question we want to talk about is, how can a sinful person communicate with a holy God? Here's the answer that our study guide pointed us to. It stated that our Heavenly Father desired to set people free from sin. And this is the reason why he sent his Son Jesus into the world to die for their sin. Now, how did this set people free? Well, by Jesus' death, he redeemed us. He paid the penalty for our sin. He also reconciled us back to God. You see an example of this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. So, students, if we love the Son of God, Jesus, and if we trust in his redeeming power, the Father will receive us, forgive us, be reconciled to us, and again, we can have fellowship with God. So this is how a sinful person communicate with the Holy God, is that they accept the sacrifice of Jesus' life for their sins, and therefore they can be reconciled with God. For Jesus paid the penalty for sin and that which separated us from God. A fourth question we want to think about is this. After God created the world, did his creative power continue to operate? And if so, how? We see from our study guide that the Father created all things through the Son. You see a reference for that in John chapter 1, verse 3. And the Son sustains all things continually. Reference for that is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. So we see from the scripture text and from our study guide that God not only set the stars in place, for example, but he keeps them in place. He not only created us, but he also keeps us alive by giving us our daily bread. All things that pertain to the substance of life. You see an example of this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Let's look at a fifth question about God, his moral characteristics and work. A sixth question we think about is, how did God show his providence to Abraham when he was about to sacrifice his son Isaac? Now, if you're not familiar with this particular account of Scripture, here's a reference for you. You can make note of Genesis chapter 22, verses 9 through 14 to see an example of what this question is referring to. And we see from the reading of that scripture and from our study guide that although Abraham loved his son Isaac and did not want to sacrifice him, he was ready to obey. And evidently, the Lord didn't intend for Isaac to die. So he provided a ram to die in his place, and Isaac was spared. That is a great Old Testament picture of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus was the lamb or the ram that died in the place of us. And so that's a great idea to show how God proves his providence over our lives, just as he did in the case of Abraham, because he was willing to obey God, regardless of what it cost him. Let's take a look at a seventh and final question for this exercise sheet. How did God's concurrence enter into his providential care for Joseph? Now, understanding we're looking at Genesis. Again, make note of this and review this portion of Scripture. It will help you to get a better understanding. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And you'll see as you look at that portion of Scripture and as you review your study guide, you'll see that the Lord could have kept Joseph from being sold into slavery by his brothers, but he allowed it. He permitted his brothers to fulfill their evil plot. We see again that God allowed Joseph to become a slave in Egypt so that he could later become the ruler over the Pharaoh's house. So God allows certain things to happen in Joseph's life in order that the scriptures or the vision that he had revealed to Joseph might be fulfilled. A lot of times in life we don't understand why circumstances are allowed to happen, but we must realize and believe that God has a plan that sometimes we cannot see, and that God is in control of the situation and circumstances around our lives. And that's why we took a look at the case of Joseph. He wasn't aware of why these things were happening or why God allowed them. But in the end, he fully understood that God was guiding each action to bring him to the fulfillment of God's will for his life. In many cases, that is true for us as well, students. This is why it helps us to deepen our relationship with God as we study more about his moral characteristics, the things that he considers right and wrong, and the works that he takes on our behalf, his providential care that he has for us, not just to create us, but to care for us and to sustain us. Same is true for all of his creation. So we understand these facts about God, and these facts express things about God's character, about who he is and how we can relate to him. So we see that the Lord permitted Joseph's brothers to go through this plot. God allowed Joseph to become a slave in order that he might become the ruler over all of Pharaoh's house. Now, in conclusion to this week's lesson review, I want to refer you to the study guide where it mentions the brutal murder of a beautiful little five-year-old girl. You'll see a commentary in your study guide on page 154. And as you review that commentary, I want to ask you this question, students. How do we reconcile such events with biblical teaching concerning divine sovereignty? Sometimes when bad things happen, we may question, and why would God allow these things? And also, I want you to think about which aspect of divine providence, whether it is preservation, concurrence, that is, where God allows, or government, that relates to such events. So think about it for just a moment, right now. The brutal murder of a beautiful little five-year-old girl. How do we reconcile such events with the biblical teaching concerning divine sovereignty? Well, this is what the lesson pointed us to, and what we need to understand about God's moral characteristics is that God has chosen to give people free will. And people sometimes use this free will in evil ways. Related to such events in the aspect of divine sovereignty is known as concurrence, where God allows it to happen. Now, while God may allow it or concur in granting people these natural powers to kill or destroy, we know that it is contrary to God's will, for we know in what we refer to as the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments was, "Thou shalt not kill," which is that killing or taking of innocent life is not the will of God. He knows the consequences results in death. So when God concurs or allows these things to happen and while people use their own free will to make these decisions and use their natural powers to take someone's life, when people use their natural ability in an evil way, they alone, not God, they alone are responsible for the evil acts. You see, God does not cause people to act irresponsibly, but He allows people to have free will, and He also has commanded that we be responsible in use of our free will through the by God's commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Review the Ten Commandments found in the book of Exodus. You'll see what God's will is concerning man. And in a nutshell, to sin is to violate God's will or to break God's law. And these are all the laws of God that are contained in the Ten Commandments. And we know that Jesus even summarized these Ten Commandments into two commandments when the scribes and Pharisees came and asked Jesus, what is the greatest law? What is the perfect will of God for mankind? And Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus said, if you obey as Abraham obeyed these things, you have fulfilled all the law and the prophets. That is, you have fulfilled the perfect law and the will of God. And this is what God requires of those of us who understand His character and His works, that we should allow ourselves to be molded and shaped into the image of God. So prayerfully, this lesson review about God's moral characteristics and His works will help us to understand better how God can love people even though He hates their sin. We can also appreciate God's creative power and His providential rule over all of creation. And I pray that this will encourage each of you to love God more dearly and to trust Him more fully in your daily experiences of your life. Also use these to encourage other people who may be experiencing dark times in their life. Point them to the loving arms of Jesus and through faith in Him. It's one last thing we're going to do before we close out with this lesson review tonight. I want you to think about a personal experience of God's providence in your life. Or perhaps you can think of someone who's had an unusual spiritual experience as the result of some of the things that we've studied in the lesson tonight. One of the things the scriptures remind us of in the book of Revelation is that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb who has redeemed us from the curse of the law because we broke it. But we also overcome by our own testimony and the testimony of other people who have experienced God's power. This is why we want this lesson to encourage you in your daily experiences that no matter what situations you may face, God is faithful. He has a providential care for you. Even though He may allow things to happen, He allows people to do things that are contrary to His will. We know that the things they do are contrary to God's will, and that the person alone is responsible for the evil acts, not God. So let's each of us live the example that Christ has given us. Let's live in agreement with God's word so that we can represent Him much more fully in the earth. Remember back in Genesis that God said, let us create man in our image after our likeness. And these should be some of the ways in which we also reflect the glory of God in the earth. So again, thank you, students. I really appreciate having this time to go over this lesson with you. I look forward to going through the rest of these courses. Tonight we've studied our course, Cornerstones of Truth, session number 3, God's Moral Characteristics and His Works. I pray that these will continue to bless you as you meditate upon them. And in the meantime, God bless each and every one of you, and good night.